Good to see everyone here today. We appreciate you for being here. Thank God for all you. What an incredible day we have to worship the Lord today. I want to say it's an honor to have all of you here today. We're thankful for the Lord and His goodness. He's so mindful of us. Well, we've been in this Galatians series now for quite some time. We had a little break during our taking care of our Shavuot service, just recognize and remember. Remember in Acts 2 when the day of Pentecost was fully come, also going back to Mount Sinai when they received the Torah. So we continuing in Galatians. Again, this Galatians series is in light of Torah, looking back at it throughout the entirety of Scripture and seeing what Paul was saying to the Galatians, what they were up against. Well, today we're going to try to finish the third chapter and be ready for the fourth chapter. I had one verse last night. I had one verse to finish. So I stopped last night and that one verse left, and I'm glad I did. So we'll take care of that today, looking at it together. But how many of you know we have a way maker that we serve? Sometimes there seems to be no way, but He always comes through. He knows exactly what's happening. And there's no coincidence. If you're serving the Lord, you're doing everything you possibly know to do. Let me tell you, we're not talking about a group of people that's in here that's reached some state of perfection. We're in a work in progress. We're all headed somewhere. We're being led by His Spirit. And there are going to be good days, and there are going to be bad days. There are going to be days that you don't even like you. But you got to hang in there. Because if you give up, then where's the hope? You got to hold on with everything you got to allow the presence of God to do the work. And let me tell you, when you don't think He's working, He's working. You don't even feel like He's working. There are days you don't feel anything but hopelessness and failure, but He's doing it. And He'll bring about a time where you can make no mistake about it, that His hand's on your life. His hand is guiding you. Now, I can tell you, I always question the Lord a lot of times in my life about what to do, when to do it. Why should I do a certain thing? Sometimes we wonder, well, Lord, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why do you have me where I am? But you can't question that, even though you want to. You got to put your faith in God. If He gives you direction to do something, just do it. The just shall live by faith. You trust God. See, He knows all of our situations. He knows what you're going through. Sometimes we feel like, who really knows what's happening? Well, I may not know. I don't know everybody's personal issues that you have today, but I know one who does. He knows. And if you don't think He thinks about you personally, He does. He really does. He thinks about us personally. He wants us to know that. Well, years ago, I just had this conversation yesterday. I had a couple that I was out fishing with, and I had met them before, but a couple of them on the boat wasn't someone that I knew. They was asking, you know, about what I did. And, you know, you think if you're on the boat and you're captain in the boat, that's a dead giveaway. Right? Why would you get asked what do you do? Well, it's not a dead giveaway because I always hope for that question. I said, well, I get to do this because the Lord just loves me that much. But what I really do is I pastor a church. Been pastoring that church for 30 years. Oh, really? And then we get to share. Well, they ask for prayer and so forth. Well, let me just tell you how incredible God is. We have a group of people sitting here this morning that is no accident that they called the guide service that we have. You know why? Even when you don't think He's working, He's working. Before we even knew each other or figured it out, God had already put it in place. It could be anybody. There's hundreds to pick from. But God worked out every detail in their lives to see to it that be right here on this day for this hour. Why? Because we have a way maker. You couldn't write it if you tried to. If you tried to take pen and paper and write this script. Well, this is just God showing us that sometimes you don't even believe in you that you're doing the right thing. But you do what he asks you to do, whether it makes sense or not. That's faith. Faith is believing as real fact what doesn't make sense to you. That's why we have to trust his word. Our mind will lead us astray. That's why our mind has to be renewed. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. We have to let it happen. And so if I understand my wife correctly, there was a bit of confusion on which Cajun to go with. Because there's Cajun up the road and Cajun down the road. We'd be the one down the road. And if you mow down the road, you mow Cajun. Right? That's just the way we always seen it. But all that's funny, but we had nothing to do with it. God had everything to do with it. Because what he wants to do is bring encouragement to his people. That's what he wants to do. He wants to encourage you when you're looking for that encouragement. He wants to do that. So I wanted to say that we appreciate y'all being here today. We're honored by it. Honored by it. And what God had already planned for you, we're just glad that we can be a part of whatever facilitating that is. That's it. But let me tell you, I was thinking about it while they were singing that song, and I said, well, you know what? This day, we could have missed this whole day if somebody wouldn't have dug themselves out the sticks and the rubble of the flood and the terrible storm and said, you know what? It matters that we go back and we rebuild and we do what God called us to do. We wasn't promised every day is going to be perfect. Sometimes you get storms in your life. Sometimes you lose stuff you love. But if you hold on with all your might, not give up on the promise that he made, he'll bring you forgot about all them days of cleaning up and all them days of building, because now you get to sit in this day that God had already ordained for you and I to be in, so we can have this moment. That tells me he loves me. He cares about me. He wants the best for me. So when people ask me about what do you do? Well, I do this as my primary. And I get to enjoy all the wonderful other things God lets me do. And I'm so thankful for it. I tell God all the time how grateful and how thankful I am that I get a chance to do that. He's good to us. And so today, let today just be one of those days where the glory of God will just minister to your life. And just thank him. Thank him for all the goodness that he's poured on your life. He's so good to us. Amen? Well, we'll guess we'll break into this. Go to Galatians again, third chapter. Galatians chapter 3 will be there. It'll be up on the overhead. You'll see it. And we stopped off on that third, I don't know where I'm going to be able to start here, but let me see what we have. Go to 563, we'll start right there. I think that's where I may have left off. I gave it to you wrong just a moment ago. It'll be the same verse, but it just looked different. Okay, Galatians 3. Again, we're studying the book of Galatians in its entirety. We've been in this, I'm not sure how many weeks we've been in this now, but it's been quite some time. But we want to look at it in light of the Torah, in light of the Old Testament, the understanding of when he gave the word, or the oracles were given to his people at Mount Sinai. So I want you to see that. So in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Do you have that one? There we go. Thank you. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one. That word one, again, if we look at it from a Hebrew perspective, that one is ahad. That's what the Jewish children, when we were in school, we learned in English. And so we'd get the number, one would be up, and we'd say one. A Jewish child, they put the number one up, they would say ahad. That's what they would start with, because it's one. It means one exactly as our word means one. And so we're going to be one in Messiah Yeshua. Again, one in our Messiah. Understanding that principle. It's not that these things do not exist. They're not. They don't go away. And we'll prove that in just a little bit by reading one a reference scripture. But we become one in Messiah. So he's talking about there's neither Jew nor Greek. Why did he have to do that? Because it was given to the Jews. The oracles were given to the Jews, but he says in Messiah, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. Bond nor free. Some were born under the bond. Some were born under the free. He says there's no difference. So he's keeping that same thing. There's either male nor female. Under the Jewish customs, there were certain things only males could do. Only males could do. There was a clear separation from the male and the female. One of the things was circumcision. That's what the whole Galatians is about. Whether or not the Galatians should be circumcised. Paul said they don't have to be. We're not under that anymore. And so there's a reason for that. Messiah is the circumcision. He's our Passover lamb. He's the one that he becomes what we looked at in the scripture. He's the bloody husband to me. If you go back and look at what Zipporah told Moses, the bloody husband to me. It's very important to understand these concepts. There's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Messiah Yeshua. In Romans 3, verse 1 and 2, we'll look at it and take some reference here of what this is saying. Romans 3, verse number 1. What advantage then had the Jews? What advantage then had the Jews? Or what profit is there of circumcision? What is that profit? Much every way. Chiefly because that unto them, the Jews, were committed the oracles of Elohim. To them. They were there. They were at the foot of the mountain when it quaked and burned, and there were great tongues of fire, and the voice of God came forth in such a way that they could taste his words. Remember, all the senses were activated. They could see it, they could hear it, they could taste it, they could smell it when he spoke. It brought great fear on them. They said, please not. Tell God not to speak anymore. Let Moses be our mediator. Let him go speak to God on our behalf. And whatever he says, we will do it. That was the marriage contract, the vow. The vow's vow. Whatever he says, we will do. I do. And so then there's a seal or a promise that comes that's his people. Here's the seal. The seal then was the circumcision. But Acts 2 comes along. And it says, when the day of Pentecost, the word Pentecost is the Greek term of where we get the word 50 from, when Pentecost was fully come, but that's the same Shavuot feast. At the same time, when that came, was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. It was like a rushing wind. They could hear it. All of a sudden, their senses is being awakened just like it was at Mount Sinai when the oracles were given. Their senses are being awakened. Now we have the same Jews that are at the foot of the mountain of Mount Sinai are the same group that's in the upper room. There's no Gentile in the upper room. The Jews are there. Why do it again? Because there's going to be a release this time where it'll go out into the whole world. There it was just a temporary time given to them, sealed by circumcision, but now it's going to be sealed by Holy Spirit. And so all of a sudden, that sound comes like a rushing wind. It filled the place. Everyone there can tell something just happened. It was like cloven tongues of fire that was on each of them, the same fire. So they're interacting, they're feeling, they're sensing this move of God that came. And it ministered to their lives. And here they are. They're all there. And miracles begin to happen. We see it early on in the first message that Peter spoke, 3,000 souls were saved. How many were lost at Mount Sinai? 3,000. Go back and look at it. 3,000 lives were lost at Mount Sinai because of their not waiting on God and preparing their own time of worship and saying, this is to Elohim. Remember, taking a praiseworthy thing, we want to worship Yahweh. We want to worship Him. So make us something that we can call Yahweh. We can call it God and worship it. And surely He would be pleased. And He rejected that. You can't worship God in a pagan way. He rejects that. He has His own way to be worshipped. 3,000 people lost their life that day. Peter's first message, 3,000 were saved. You see the similarities of that because they're both happening on the exact celebration, which is Shavuot. It's the time when God meets with His people after they have experienced the Passover, the unleavened bread, and acknowledging the first fruits of Christ being raised from the dead. Very important principles throughout Scripture. And we just wanted to point that out to you. Romans chapter number 1, verse 16 says this, "For I'm not ashamed of the good news of Messiah. I am not ashamed of the good news of Messiah. For it is the power of Elohim unto salvation to everyone that believeth." It's the power of God. To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first. Notice that. There is a distinction, and it was a known fact that the Jews and the Gentiles clearly saw each other completely different. One believed that they were the chosen group for God. The others, they had no hope. Paul comes along and he's speaking to those in Galatia, which is a Gentile group of people. Remember the Acts account when we first started this. You read the book of Acts, and it gives you all the travelings of Paul and Barnabas when they're going and visit all these churches all throughout that region. And he's saying to them, how is it you have received the good news early on? You've received the promise of salvation. You received it and come into the faith, but now you say we have to be circumcised in order to be saved. And remember, salvation is not a circumcision of the flesh. You can't obtain salvation by works. Because it's a gift from God. It's the grace of God bestowed on all of us. By faith we receive that. Christ became our circumcision. So, but it's completely contrary to what the commandment said. Remember Yahweh last night, He says to Moses and Aaron, He says, you tell them, if you got a bond servant, they can't participate in Passover. But if you buy him with money and he's circumcised, he can participate in Passover. And then we read to you last night, we have been bought with the price. We were that servant. We were that bond servant. But we've been bought with the price, purchased by the blood of Messiah. And what's the circumcision? Christ is our circumcision. Isn't that amazing? So is there a distinction now? Not according to the Lord. According to the Word of God, there's no Jew nor Greek. Isn't that amazing? So when you read that verse in Galatians, we're going through that teaching, that is a shout moment right there when he says there's neither Jew nor Greek, because that means you and I included in the promise, the inheritance. We were separated from the commonwealth of Israel. We didn't have no hope and no promise. That's how wonderful the redemption is. That's how incredible it is. It makes you get excited about it. Because I was included in that. It's a wonderful thing. And it's, you know, the trick of the enemy is to try to convince people that somehow serving God is a very difficult thing. I don't know how, you know, if you got to do nothing, that can't put a lot of strain on you. If somebody comes there and say, you need any help? Yeah, I need some help. What do you want me to do? Nothing. Now, some people, that's right up their alley. You know, they want to check for nothing. But, you know, when I grew up, if you did nothing, you got nothing. That's just the way it was. And you get asked, too. What's wrong with you? You sick? Your hands broke? No. Well, I suggest you get with it. Well, here it is. Can you imagine being invited into the family of God? And you did nothing. So it's difficult because the enemy thinks, well, I got to do something. trying to make you think, well, I got to do something. What can you do? What can you do to obtain his love? For by grace are you saved through faith. You have to trust that what he did for you is a complete and completely done. Now, after that happens, what should you do? Obey. After that wonderful, you did nothing. And the whole job got done and you did nothing to help. And it got paid for in full. That ought to excite you and I to want to be a part of that family. Now, what do I do now that I'm invited in that family? Obey. Be a participant. Be the light of the world. Be salt of the earth. Be someone who will be a conduit to express that to others. If the Lord calls you to travel, go travel somewhere. Go speak into somebody's life. Encourage them because they need that hope. There's a lot of people in the world that have no hope. They need the hope. And we ought to be examples of that hope. Amen? So it says to the Jew first, but that last little part there, and also to the Greek. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Paul's very aware of this that's happening, and he just wants us to see it. We'll look at John chapter 4. We'll look at something here I think will help us. In the fourth chapter of John, Jesus is having this encounter with the woman at the well. Well, let's look at it. It says this, our fathers worship in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So there's this controversy going on in Samaria. Remember, the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Now, Samaria was the capital city of the 10 tribes that had dispersed. They divided. And he said that those, because of their disobedience, those 10 tribes, not the two tribes, the southern tribe, they stayed, but the northern tribe, they dispersed. And he said they would go out into the nations. That word is goyim. They would go into the nations and assemble it. They would just assemble into the nations. You wouldn't be able to tell where they were from anymore. But they didn't originate there. They originated as God's people. But because of that separation, they went out. Well, Samaria was the capital of those of the northern section. That was the capital city of that section. So the Jews, the tribe of Benjamin and Judah, which now is known as Judas, where you get the term Jews from. They stayed. They're the son that stayed in the prodigal parable. The son stays. That's the southern tribe. The northern tribe is the one that takes everything and he goes out and does his own thing. You can't tell where he's from. If you find him out there with his buddies, you don't know if he's from the same house. That's why this is a wonderful, it's the greatest love story never told. It's absolutely amazing that you and I are actually here getting it's put before us that we could be a part of God's family. It's absolutely incredible. Who wouldn't want to do this? And so this prodigal son, he realizes, I messed up big time. I don't have nothing. I have no money. I have no friends. And probably back home, the hired servants has got more than I have. Because what's the promise to the hired servant? If he's bought with money, he's like one born in Israel. That's why that verse, you have been bought with the price, that ought to make you shout hallelujah right there. Because now you're like one born in Israel. He says, well, the hired servant's probably got more than I have. Then he come to himself. You know what it means to come to yourself? That's when you quit blaming everybody else. Because I can tell you, it don't take long. You can find it's somebody's fault. The reason you are the way you are. It doesn't take a lot of thinking to figure that out. We just come up with that stuff. But then he come to himself and realized nobody did me anything. I made a decision in my life to take all that was mine and do my thing. And it cost me. It cost me. Look at me now. I'm sitting in the hog pen. And look at my life. It's a mess. But what I like about what happened, he realized that. You know, that's what it takes. We just got to realize some things. Once you do that, and you start that journey back, it could be the last quarter mile of you getting back. And you won slap out. But one good thing that's amazed me all my life about the Father, He's not waiting for you to knock on the door. He's been looking for you your whole life. He's out there on the porch every morning. He's looking. He's going to come today. I got a feeling He's coming today. And He looks down that road, way down that road every day. And He don't see nobody. But this morning,
hallelujah.
This morning He looked and He said, I think that's Him coming. He ain't there yet, but He's on His way. Let me just tell you, I believe that we're in a time right now that there are people on their way.
Amen.
They're on their way. They're about to get there. Isn't that amazing? They're about to get there. So listen, ain't no time for you and I to give up on people. Don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. It'll come. You can't do the things that God asks you to do. You can't be a person who obeys the Father and do what He asks you to do and God not turn around and supernaturally bless you. I've seen Him do it time and time and time and time again. I've seen Him do it. I'm a witness of this. God is good to us. This day He sees Him. There He is. Hey, guys. That's Him. He went out to meet Him. It's a picture of what will happen when He comes back. It's a picture of what will happen when He comes back. We're not going to be sitting there and He's just going to come. We're going to meet Him somewhere else. It's going to be an agreement between two groups. He agrees, we agree, we meet somewhere in the middle. That's what's going to happen. The Bible says the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised, incorruptible. I don't know if you noticed, but we're still in the corruptible state. We need all the help we can get. We're trying to eat right, work out, do whatever we can, because we're in a corruptible state. And sometimes we wait too long to do that, and we pay it. How many know it's a pay? You pay for that. But there's going to be a day. And listen, corruptible state, and you saved as saved can get, but you're still in the corruptible state. Because you're saved and you're being saved. But on that day, the dead raised first. Them which are alive and remain shall be changed. Isn't that amazing? And we'll meet the Lord in the air. There's a middle place. What did the Father do? He went out and met Him in the road. Said, son, I'm so glad. Called Him son. He didn't say, where have you been? You know, you did. He didn't. Son, I'm so glad you're here. He put shoes on His feet. No son of mine gonna go without no shoes. He didn't say, what you do with your shoes? You know how much I paid for them shoes. He didn't do that. Put shoes on His feet. A robe on His back. A robe on Him. No son of mine's going without some identification. Here's the next part. He put a ring on His finger. It don't mean a lot today, maybe, but back then, a signet ring meant everything. If you had the ring, the signet ring, it meant everything. Because you could make a promise, a seal. That signet ring would be pressed into the heart. It would be pressed in, and that was the seal of that family. It meant something. Well, can I tell you? When you're in the family of God, He puts a ring on your finger. He brings you in, and He says to the servants, kill the fatted lamb. Go get ready. We're going to celebrate. We're celebrating. Well, the son had never left. He said, I can't believe this. I've been here the whole time. I never left. Why are they getting all this special? Why are you getting this special treatment? This is what's going on in Galatia. The Jews came up in Galatia and said, listen, we the chosen ones. We never left. And here you come along as Galatians, and you're going to think you can get all this without being circumcised? We telling you, you got to be the circumcised, and you got to keep the feast like we keep the feast. Paul says they don't have to do it. Wow. Now, don't get me wrong. When Paul says that, Christianity today has taken what Paul said to the extreme and has crippled the church. Literally crippled the church. One of the worst cripplings you've ever seen. And that's what we're getting into that, seeing that. Because then you disregard the Torah altogether. And that's why people can't encounter God. That's when the Lord said to me, when you look into my glory, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. And man, when I started, the light came on for me. It was like, wow, we missed this thing. We missed it clean because we're not identifying with who the Father is. And that's why I said this. You have to realize that Christianity today mostly have preached Christ to the exclusion of the Father. And the entire Bible is about you getting to know who the Father is. Listen, Christ is everything the Bible said he is. Everything. And I believe it, and I'm telling you, he's our champion, our soon coming king. He's that way maker we talked about. He's everything to us. He can do it because he's the one that made a way. There was no way, but he died for me and made a way. Yes. Isn't that amazing? But getting to know the Father is so important. And that's where we miss it. The Father's heart is different than the Son's heart. The Son's heart looks at the other as a brother. The Father looks at both of them as his children. Both of them. The one who disseminated into the Goyim, the nations, and the one who stayed. I stayed. I didn't do anything. I stayed right here. Every time you needed me, I was here. And you never made no supper for me. You made no supper. You've been eating supper since you've been here. Who you think been feeding you? But that's how we start to see things. We start counting who gets more. We ought to be happy how good God is that he's inviting back in the northern tribes who disseminated into the nations. That would be you and I. Thank God for that miracle. Amen? Well, let me go back to John 4 here. I'm about to get myself happy. Yeshua said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. What it's all about? The Father. This is Yeshua. This is Jesus saying, you got to worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. And we know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. What was Jesus? Jewish. He was of the Jews, from the line of the tribe of Judah. Where we get the term Jews from. That's Yeshua. It's where he's from. He said, you worship, you don't even know what you worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now look at the next one. But the hour cometh. Notice that. This is Yeshua, what he says. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father. What is the Father seeking? True worshipers. Who are we to worship? The Father. This would just relate. We got to get to know the Father. How many of you know when you get to know the Father, your life will change? How do you know the Father? When you read the Torah, it talks about his likes and his dislikes, all of those wonderful things. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Yahweh is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want you to look at Deuteronomy 23. This goes along with it. We're going to find a place here in just a little bit to stop. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 19 through 20, let's look at it. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother. Now, this is a commandment from the Jews to the Jews. Notice what he says. You shall not lend upon usury to thy brother. You can't charge interest. If you lend something, You can't say, I'm going to give you 10, I want 15 back. This is Jews to Jews. This is the command. I know they don't abide by it, right? Not anyone I met. Right? They lend you 10, they want 20 back, or whatever it is. But this is what he says. This is a command. Thou shalt not lend upon usury, no interest, to thy brother. Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. You can't do it. But watch this. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury. You can charge them interest. Yippee. To the stranger, they don't count. But unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury. That Yahweh thy Elohim, there's a reason, you ready? For that Yahweh thy Elohim may bless thee in all that thou seest, settest thy hands to in the land whether thou goest to possess. Let Yahweh do it. Don't try to get it off of somebody else. That's a good principle to use. It really is. That's a sure way to ruin your company, or whatever, if you ever have one, or going to have one, is to think that you need to make it off of a single person. And he's trying to break us from that type of thing. Can't you trust that God will bring it to pass? You might have been wanting a contract and you didn't get it. That's okay. Trust that he'll bring the next one to you. But if it changes who you are because you didn't, that is where that comes into play. Be careful. If he brings you to a spot, if he brings you to a place where you're going to have be in business and all of that, you got to trust that if he brought you there, he's faithful to complete it till it's in. Very important. Because how many know money changes people? It does. There's just something about it. Everybody can be going fine, everybody's okay, but money gets involved, it can change you. It really can. Trust, Yahweh's saying, trust me, rather than that, and everything's going to be good. Now watch, the reason I read this, because I want you to see how important this is. Verse 28 again. You ready for this? There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for we're all one in Messiah Yeshua. Uh-oh. So if I'm one now in Messiah Yeshua, guess what? You can't charge me interest. Tell that to the banker. He'll put you out. But the point is, you qualify underneath that banner that God... It should be that way. It's not, but it should be. Because he says there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. Male nor female, you're all one in Messiah Yeshua. So, Acts 15, verse 8 says this, "And Elohim, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us." Gave them what? Holy Spirit. "Even as he did unto us. And put no difference." I mean, see that. "And put no difference between us and them." How many of you know us and them statement has created more conflict than probably any single phrase, because it's us and them. That's how family units work. Us and them. Now, depending on what side you're on, the us side or the them side, could make a difference. You know what difference it is to Yahweh? None. He put no difference between us, the Jews, and them, the Gentiles. He gave the Holy Spirit to all of us. That right there is amazing. Let me tell you, if you get your head in the Word of God, you might just learn something. I'm telling you, this is wonderful. I can't get enough of it. You learn things and how to be, just how to interact with your own family. You got to be careful with these things. So, again, I'm trying to go through this. There's so many more things you could say about all of it. Now, verse 29. That was my last verse last night. So, I stopped, then I got home last night, And I was like, man, I can't finish right there. That's because that part right there, that parts was very important. Verse 29, I'll finish with this. This is because we got to go to chapter 4. And we'll do that next Saturday. And if ye be Messiahs, because remember we talk about there's neither bond nor free, male nor female. Y'all one in Messiah. If you be Messiahs, then are you Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. So you're of the seed and heir. Wow. Well, that's some amazing stuff there. So, let me just tell you that being heir and according to the promise is some powerful things, because all the promises that he talks about, you qualify for them. And that's what the trick of the enemy is. The trick is this, because you, wherever we were, out there, he'll remind you of all the things that was wrong in your life. And what Holy Spirit does is try to remind you of what the miracle that's been done in our life by the Waymaker. And the one that wins out, the ear, is going to be the one that brings, you're going to follow. So if the enemy wins out, you're going to follow that. If you give him an ear, he's going to speak in it. He's going to tell you, yeah, you know, I know you're trying to do that thing, but it'll never work for you. And the Word of God saying you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're ready for anything, equal to anything. Do you understand that? And you have to see that position in Christ. You have to see that. There's neither Jew nor Greek. And we have to see that and accept that. Because we have not been born naturally to the seed of Abraham, doesn't disqualify anybody, because once you are one in Messiah, then that's the condition, then you're Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, what is there to receive? You know, I thought I read in Hebrews, Abraham died not receiving the promise. He will. He will receive it. There'll be a time that he'll receive it all. And we'll receive it. How many thank God that we have a promise of the kingdom of God? We have that promise. Every one of you here, you have that promise of the kingdom of God. Listen, this is just, we're kind of going through dress rehearsal right here. This is, the stage one, and the curtain opens and it's your life. But there's a lot more stages behind that life. And a lot of people, they don't realize how important it is. Stage one is very important. Because in that stage one, the curtain's open and there you are. You were born and you do all the little things you do, and you have your teenage years and you go out and do whatever you want, and then you find somebody, you get married, and you have little children. And it's just, you know, you're doing all of that in this little stretch of time right here. So you're getting it all done. And you know, some don't get mad. They go to college. They start a business. And they're doing good. And eventually you have children. They have children. You have grandkids. And life is good. And you're getting older. And sometimes you get sick of bumping the road. Stuff happens. And there's all sorts of things that happen in between. And then it gets over here toward the end of your life. And realize you've gotten older. And slow down. And you're starting to realize and think about things. Wow, what do I do? And you're just right at the end of where, you know, you're thinking about that when you were 18, 10 years were like, wow, who cares about 10 years? But when you hit 70, 10 years, you're thinking, I'm going to be 80. Man, I want to be 80. I would love to be 80. And then when you get 80, you're thinking about 5 years, 85. And when you're 85, you say, 1 year is going to be good, 86. Right? My grandpa, I remember he was 90. When he was 90, I was talking to him one time about that. And he's like, he was into the months. Think about it. One more month. Every month mattered. And then it gets to the point where every day matters. Every day. Every single day matters to you. And then you die. And then what? Well, he said, Paul says, I would not have you ignorant about these things, brothers. I like how he used ignorant and brother in the same line. Today it's hard to do that. You get ignorant out and they, you know, everybody's like, you can't finish it out. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning these things. Because there's, if that's all there is, he said, we are all men most to be pitied. But that's your life right there. And then there's eternity. What have you been doing to prepare for all of that that keeps going? That you are going to be in the kingdom of God, ruling and reigning with Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's the promise that was given to Abraham. And we don't, there's not enough preaching about that. We ought to preach that three times on Sunday. About the kingdom of God and the promise and the hope we have. It's wonderful. And Christ is going to set this thing in order. And everything's going to submit to his rule and his guidance. And when it's all done, he's going to turn over the kingdom that's been given to him to the Father. Read in Corinthians 15. Go take some time. Let that be some Sunday afternoon look at. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and read that. It's a lot of reading. It's 50, you know, it'll take you some time. But you read it all the way through and you'll find out he's going to turn it back over to the Father, which gave it to him. And that part that amazes me is when I read it in Revelations at the end, and God himself steps in. Anytime I see God himself, that does something for me. And if the Bible says God himself would do it, you know what I believe? God himself. I have no trouble with that. There'll be no need for the S-U-N. We watch it come up when we go out. We watch it come up. And if you're fishing in the afternoon, you watch it go down. And it's just amazing. And it gives light, does its job. It's a wonderful thing. But there'll be no need for that because God himself, he radiates the light. And that light is not just any light. It's called the glory of the Most High. The glory of the Most High. The same thing that wrapped Adam and Eve when he first created man. They were wrapped in the glory of God. And when sin came, the glory left. And they knew they were naked. And temporarily, he covered them with skins from some animal that was slain. And they were covered temporarily. But all of a sudden, time went on. And the Lamb of God came. And he was slain for the whole world. We're covered now in his blood, forgiven of our sins, and promised the same heir of seeds of Abraham is our promise. How many thank God for that? So I tell you, it's an exciting time to be alive. I appreciate the Lord today. I thank God for all of you being here. But I want you to know it's a great time to also make commitments to the Lord. Don't be afraid to make commitments to God. He encourages us to do that. But be serious about your commitment. When you commit to the Lord, be serious about it. Quit thinking about, I'm going to make mistakes. Guess what? You are going to make them. I'm going to make them. You're going to have days that you won't like you. But his grace is sufficient to keep you through that day. Your allegiance in your heart didn't change. You just had a bad day. And a lot of people is giving up because the church is not teaching enough on that. They had a bad day and they feel like they're just a big failure. And they can't go back. We don't think that prodigal son thought he was a big failure. I can tell you failure, failure, failure. It was like neon signs going off in his mind. You're a failure. He felt that way. But he knew there was something about the Father that he knew. If I could go back. And I'm telling you, that's the truth. God wants to love us. He wants to. But he's not going to force his love on us. We play the role. We have to choose the right path. We have a free will to make the right choice. My prayer today is that you would say, you know what? I'm going to serve the Lord. I know it's going to look odd to my family and friends, but I'm going to serve the Lord. And they might say, you know what, you'll never make it, and you're going to have a mistake. That's fine. But I want to tell you, if your allegiance is to serve God and love the Lord, He's going to keep you. He'll keep you. He'll keep His hand upon your life. It'll be a wonderful thing. Amen? Well, let's stand together. Appreciate you.